Der Sound of Football Podcast mit Weißlief Hofbrau.
And welcome back to The Sound of Football. Yes, you missed us, haven't you? It's been a long, long, long summer. But thankfully, there's been no football there. So you're all really ready for a new season and up for it and everything. And oh, my word, wasn't it a great first weekend of the season? Wasn't it?
Well, it's been 2 weeks for me because I follow the Bundesliga. But both of which have been great.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I did see that.
Did you?
Or should I say Das?
Das. Did you? Mm. Did you really? What?
Wait. Sorry. We can't start like this.
Okay.
There could be people who have not ever listened to A Sound of Football ever listening to us.
Well, that's surely everyone, isn't it?
Well, no. There are obviously the people who have come here and they've said, well, okay, great. Now what I do is I just listen to The Sound of Football because the season started, and the season has started properly now.
So you're referring to new listeners?
There are some people who may have arrived here first time. Mm. This could be the first ever one.
Well, I don't like when new people come along.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, but as long as you'll sit at the back and remain quiet, and then, you know.
Well,
but we better introduce ourselves.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Graham. This person who speaks next is Terry.
Hello.
And this person here who speaks next is Jan.
Hello.
No. You better be in character.
You're speaking your proper Surrey accent, mate.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Jan. Anyway, and you heard before Terry, and we are The Sound of Football, and well, we just turn up every week and we talk about football for half an hour. Well, mm-hmm. Not really football for half an hour. We find some things to talk about, and it's vaguely football related.
We frame our discussion around football.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I should write that down.
We'll talk about whatever we like, as long as it's got something to do with football.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's got a lot to do with football, which I suspect this week it will, because it is, after all, the first week of the season.
Yes,
say,
it is.
And we should show willing and actually talk about, you know, 22 fellas kicking the ball around.
Yeah,
that.
But because that's always quite a good thing to talk about, even though many people would like to make us think it's more about something else rather than...
Yeah,
people.
More about transfers.
Tedious transfers.
Derisory bids.
Oh, derisory bids. Oh, man. I cannot tell you how many derisory bids I've had over the last week.
The amount of derisory bids have been, frankly, derisory.
Really? Yeah.
And the amount of misuse, instances where the word derisory has been misused...
That has been derisory.
The misused term of the postseason for me has been of the preseason, or should I say, for me has been tapping up, where clubs that have actually gone through the correct channels.
Oh right, what clubs making formal approaches?
Formal approaches is now being termed as tapping up. Well done, football
fans. It's this conflation, isn't it, of right and wrong. Which is a reflection on our society. But nobody knows what it is anymore. Nobody knows what right is, and nobody knows what the right way is.
The special one actually was making a big point of that earlier today, or maybe in his press conference yesterday, about the fact that he doesn't tap up.
Mm.
And neither do...
Not anymore.
No, because he has people who paid a lot of money to do it for him.
He was at Real Madrid beforehand and Inter Milan, so yes, he had people who do all of that, who do the tapping.
I don't think...
He doesn't tap himself.
I absolutely not. Come on, look, it's 2013, I don't think we should call him special anymore.
Well, what should we call him?
I think brave, I don't know.
Brave, yeah.
The brave one.
You know, something... You
humble.
Know, humble, maybe that one,
He
yes.
called himself the happy one, didn't
or
he?
Or Jose, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, or could just call him Mourinho.
The Chelsea manager. Yes.
Yeah, we'll call him from that.
Actually, that would be really easy because, like, you know, when he gets changed again, then, you know,
we
won't be able to have to worry about
changing. We should make it bad luck to say his name and just call him the Chelsea
what,
manager.
Like the Scottish
so that
player?
Way, yeah, like
yes.
the Scottish player.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and then that way. And also it's handy because when he inevitably gets replaced, as all managers get replaced, there's nothing controversial about that, then we can just continue to call him the Chelsea manager.
Regardless of where he goes.
We could call him that wherever he goes, yeah. So wherever he goes next, which will be, I don't know, where do you reckon Mourinho will go after this?
Oh, yeah, this is great. He's not even been in for one game, and now we're discussing...
This is what football's all about, though, isn't it?
What his next club's going to be. It's going to be Man City, isn't it?
Would you rather be talking about this or tactical formations?
I think he'd be going to Arsenal.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And I'm not just saying that to
next week then.
Not remotely.
not saying that to wind you up, sir. Not at all. How dare you? Me?
Yeah. Well, we can talk about Arsenal in our pre-season preview, which we really ought to get round to with 5 minutes into the podcast.
Well, you know, we've got, still got another 25 minutes. Oh, no, we haven't.
We've got our new feature.
Yeah. New feature. I mean, like,
we might have to overrun by 5 minutes on this particular
May well. I think we should all pause a little now, because then I can get a little sound effect or something, probably ripped off the internet or something, to put in right now to go for new feature.
That was beautiful.
That was, yeah. Mm. I thought so.
Well, I like that, yeah.
It's going to be some kind of farting noise, isn't it?
Yeah,
bound to be.
Probably.
Puerile.
Yes. Mm. But, yeah, so more of that later. But let's crack on with our Premier League preview, because we all go down to the Leaf, the mighty Leaf, every Saturday.
They're
at home. Leaf. Yeah, exactly. But obviously we do have... proper clubs.
We do have our own clubs that we do support and have done since we were Nippars.
Yes. And they're all in the Premier League now.
Yeah. This is the first time since the Sound of Football started that all three regular contributors have had clubs in the Premier League.
Yeah, even with that bloke who was on it before.
Even that other fella. Yeah, yeah, indeed.
It never happened when all three of us did. So this is quite a thing for us. So we can all like sort of get into the Premier League.
Talking about the Premier League like it's something.
We might even get some popularity now.
Oh,
who knows?
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
I don't like when new people come along.
New people. Mm. No good. But fortunately, all the teams we follow, which is Arsenal for me, Palace for Terry, and Sunderland for Jan, we're all playing at home for the first game of the season. Unfortunately, all of our clubs ended up losing.
Mm. I think there's a theme that's going to thread that's going to run through this season.
I hope it's not going to be throughout the whole season, but it didn't start off too well, did it?
No.
Well, not for me. I think Arsenal probably were the ones with the clown shoes on the most, I think, this weekend.
Yeah, I think Arsenal, Sunderland, and then Palace for this particular week, because yours were. Well, it was really bad.
It was quite comical.
I mean, oh yes, all right, I know that everyone's trying to big up Villa, and it's no question that Villa will be good this season.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, the story really is Arsenal and how bad they were. Mm. Sunderland next, unfortunately, because they really ought to have won that game and ended up losing to Fulham.
Yes.
Which is a bit embarrassing. And then, but Palace came out the best because although they lost at home, it was only by 1-0, and everyone thought they would lose 4-0, and it was against Tottenham, who were Champions League challengers.
However, it must be said that you lost to Tottenham without Bale.
Yeah, but
so which Palina. Really means you lost to a team like, well, even probably the lesser of Fulham, probably the lesser of Sunderland,
How dare you?
That's completely incorrect. I think this Tottenham team's going to be better without Bale this season. I think with Soldado and Paulinho and the other players that they've got in there, I think they're going to be a better side this season than they were without Bale.
We're going to put down a marker here for the end of season programme.
Yeah, fine. Well, all right, let's not make any predictions then, because
we hate making predictions. This is going to be a preview without predictions.
Well, I think that's how I think Tottenham are going to have a good season without Bale.
They will have a good season.
He's predicting there.
Well, yeah, he is, but he's not predicting where they'll end up.
All right, hang on a minute. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that Tottenham...
Now, there you go.
It's not a prediction.
That's the way we've got to do things. No predictions, because predictions are bullshit. Everyone just throws predictions in your face. Look, you said this.
And all right, Greg, well, in that case, how surprised would you be if Arsene Wenger was still the manager in a month's time?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he
Didn't
was still there.
Didn't we start last season with the same conversation about
this
Wenger?
Always happens. Well,
No. Don't remind the listeners that we rehash content.
No, it's not. It's just the same thing's happening again.
It's a never-ending story. It's all real.
Yeah, I go. Lamar's going and they're up on the ring. But yes, exactly. It's every season they come out and say that Arsene Wenger is
this season particularly.
And,
that.
Yeah, and
this season particularly because obviously losing at home is not good, and then losing at home to Villa, who struggled last season, isn't good. And I know there is a strand of Arsenal fans who feel that that there are people who just don't like Arsene Wenger and want him to go, and as a consequence skew the conversation about him accordingly. I think we saw a bit of that today because, I mean, obviously he's put in a bid for Johan Cabaye
from Newcastle,
which has been rejected and I think probably labelled as derisory. Because he offered £10 million for him. The player is valued on transfermarkt.co.uk at £14 million. And although, you know, that's only an indication, that doesn't suggest that it's a derisory offer, but, you know, it suggests that it's a bit of a cheeky one.
Cheeky rather than derisory.
Yeah,
I'd
say it was cheeky. I don't think there's enough use of the word cheeky in football, particularly when it comes to transfer bits.
Is it enough for Pardew to blame being 3-0 down after an hour?
Well, no. Not going to make any predictions, but I wouldn't be surprised if Newcastle were in the Championship next season.
Well.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you might say that about half a dozen teams in the Premier League. So, that's not a bold statement.
A lot of teams agree. So, but really, what would we be surprised at?
I'd be surprised to see Newcastle in the Champions League next season.
Yeah, that would be very surprising.
They have got a good squad of players. The players that they signed last winter, in the transfer window last winter. They haven't really made any additions. They've got their own comic value because Joe Kinnear came back as the sporting director. And he started shooting his mouth off at TalkSport, making up players' names and badly mangling the ones that he was supposed to be employing.
I like him.
You know, but yeah, he's good.
You like him because you're a Sunderland fan.
You wouldn't like him if he was your sporting director.
No, I wouldn't. No.
But he's not. But he's not. Hey. So that's all right. He's no one's. Yeah, he's no one's sporting director.
That was a strange appointment. I was surprised to see Pardew hang around after that because there was a lot of, I know it was press speculation, but yeah. I mean, they're really undermining them.
He could have walked out on what, 6 years left of his contract?
You can't really walk out, that's the thing though. I mean, you get the impression with Pardew is it's a bit like the end of that Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson gives it all up to work at a bowling alley, and then Marge gets pregnant with Maggie, and he ends up having to get his old job back. And at the end of it, Monty Burns puts a big plaque up by his desk that says, "Don't forget, you're here forever," as if to sort of like say that, you know, this is just the worst job in the world, and you're stuck here. And I think there's an element that 6 year, 7 year contract that Pardew got. I think there's an element of that. So you can't walk out, you can't leave because you give up your contract. And if we sack you, there's a clause in there that says that, you know, we don't have to pay you up in full. So
That's quite a lot to fit up in a sign, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you
it's
know,
written on the back of a Sports Direct sales
Don't
sign.
Forget you're here for 6 years is probably the best one. He's probably got a five-bar gate affair going on in his office. Yeah. I should think. Or he's got a big poster like in that Shawshank Redemption. And he's got one of those funny like spoons where he's like, you know, digging a tunnel out of there.
Or as listeners who were around last year will know, he's probably got a big massive Mayan calendar.
Yes.
Of course
the Mayan calendar.
The Mayan calendar, yes. Indeed.
Yeah. We do like a Mayan calendar.
Yes. I'll get the pan pipes on.
So what do you think then, Graham? Do you think that Arsenal, it'll be status quo and that Arsenal will find their way into the Champions League? So I'm assuming, I mean, how do you think it's going to go? It's a bit late, really, because there'll be part of the time people listening to this, they might have already known. But I mean, they've got the tricky game against Fenerbahce, haven't they?
Well, yeah, but they've got a very, very weird situation with that, haven't they? Because They've got this two-legged affair with Fenerbahce, and but the day after the second leg, Fenerbahce have got to go to
Qualification for Sport.
Yes, up in front of the beak, and find out whether or not they can actually still be in the Champions League. And
UEFA are appealing against the ban that was overturned. Is that right?
Well, they've been allowed.
They've been kicked out.
Fenerbahce have been allowed to stay in it.
Yeah.
Until the result of the appeal. If the appeal comes out and says no, sorry, you've got to go out. Even if Arsenal lose,
they'll still go through. You think?
No, they actually have to play another playoff against Red Bull Salzburg.
Ha! Well, that's essentially a bye. Red Bull Salzburg, shit.
They have to get that done in 2 weeks.
Right.
Before it's fine. The Champions League
starts. That's not a problem. They could play those games back-to-back with their second team and still win.
Yeah, so Arsenal have to have this weird thing that they could lose this playoff and still get into the Champions League.
I find
However, the fly in the ointment is like it was when the last time that Arsenal had to qualify for the group stages, all of their transfers were made after they qualified for the group stages.
Right.
So it all happened in the last 2 days of the transfer window.
So and do you think that this is what it's all about?
Do you think they're hanging
It could easily be that.
Yeah. Which is really annoying, but it could easily be.
But they don't come out and say things like that. But of course they don't have to, because they don't have to say anything that might queer the pitch, basically.
Yeah.
They sort of like, you know, because, you know, best in the transfer market, the best thing is to keep your cards close to your chest.
Yeah.
Keep your top trumps close to your boobs.
Oh, yeah. Don't go giving anything away there.
Anyway.
Bit of a hint there.
So what about you? What do you think of your team? Do you think Palace will get through it?
Yeah, I think they'll stay up. Yeah.
What?
I would be surprised if they stayed up. But I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they did, if they survived. I think that somewhere in there, Marouane Chamakh is a good player. I think that when Jonathan Williams can play a full 90 and start games, then he'll be an immense player for Palace. And as long as there's a couple of good enforcers in the midfield now. Mila Jedinak is not entirely popular with a number of fans of Championship clubs, which suits me right down to the ground. He is a midfield enforcer, and he was brilliant against Spurs. And doesn't look like he's had any problem with the transition at all. There are question marks about a defence, and we just signed a fella called Morang. I'm sure that's not how you spell it, because you pronounce it. Morang, maybe. A French geezer. He's come in. And there is this fellow, Jose Campaña, who's the Spanish under-20 captain as well. So I think that the Palace will be a team of mavericks. And I think that they'll get some serious hidings throughout the season. But I'm going to be optimistic and say that they're going to turn this around. I reckon that there's going to be two or three teams who are going to be absolutely awful this season, and I don't think Palace will be one of them.
I'm
looking at Hull and Cardiff.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be rotten, those two
clubs. Rotten to the core.
There's no commitment about either of those two clubs. There's a ludicrous sense of entitlement. And I think the football gods will punish them for pissing around with their own identities.
I think Ian
renaming
Holloway,
themselves and changing
their
club.
I think Ian Holloway, like, he's done this whole bringing a club up to the Premier League before, so he knows the whole business of it. And I don't think it's going to be too. Palace, I think, will provide some entertainment this season.
Yes. Yeah, and some of it comedy, and some of it will be good football. I mean, they will get utterly battered by some teams. There's no doubt. I'm sure that we'll probably have our customary 4-0 thrashing at the hands of Arsenal, which is always fun. Whenever we play, not for me, but it's always fun. And I'm sure one of the big teams, United or City maybe, will actually take us to the cleaners. But I have a feeling that against the tough teams, traditionally tough teams, I think that we're good. I think we might do okay.
I think I should get some stirring music in the background.
I'm going to say it. It was like
a Pacino Oscar-winning bit, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
We can play that back to him at the end of the season.
So it's agreed then. None of us would be surprised if Crystal Palace stay up.
No.
I think you're right about the other two, though.
Definitely. Yeah. I think they're going to come a cropper, those two. Mm. They're going to come a cropper.
And no mistake. So what do you think, though, Jan? What do you think about Sunderland? I mean, like, you know, disappointing with the result against Fulham at the weekend? Or did you think, well, you know, Paolo Di Canio, come on, we all had a good laugh when he took over last season. But he kept you up, didn't he?
He did. And we beat Newcastle.
And you beat Newcastle.
And, well, I mean, he's brought in a lot of players, a full team's worth, in fact, five of which started on Saturday. And, you know, it's about a season, isn't it? And it's one game. And I think you probably argue the same with the criticism that levied at Wenger. It's one game. I thought Sunderland played really well. Unless you read the Mail on Sunday, which you should never do. But
you did.
But I did.
You did.
Well, I read
did.
That part of it.
You actually bought the copy.
I didn't. No, my mother-in-law.
It's always easy to blame the mother-in-law for a purchased copy.
What is this, 1974?
Yes.
Saturday Night Television.
Yes, exactly. That's why we're in the Dicky Bows.
Anyway, I thought Sunderland played very well, and I don't think that we'll go down, and I don't think it was as bad a result as a colleague to the left said.
Losing at home to Fulham is a bad result under any circumstances. I think
it's a bad result. But it's the first game.
I wouldn't want to lose to Fulham. You know,
but it's the first game in with a whole squad.
I'm
of
not
new
suggesting
players.
That you know that it's doom and gloom. I'm just saying that in this weekend. No, I think that Palace can come out of this particular home defeat with a degree of of honour. Whereas there's no honour in dominating Fulham at home and losing to them. That's rubbish. But next week will be different.
And there's no honour of being crap at home to Aston Villa.
None whatsoever. No. I don't care how good a Villa have got over the summer. I realise that everyone loves Paul Lambert because he's he used to play for Dortmund and he wears spectacles.
Yes.
He
wears spectacles. Come on. So
I didn't know he wore spectacles.
We don't know his spectacles.
Yeah, that's the sort of guy he is.
So, I don't want to predict anything.
What wouldn't you be surprised at this season?
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're not making any predictions here.
No, absolutely not. This is prediction-free zone. Yeah.
Only I could go down on the bookies and like fill out my aquaphor. Instead of like, oh, is that who you want to be?
Not surprised.
I was going to say that I wouldn't be surprised if Moyes did really well at Manchester United this season and ran away with it.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay. Do you think United
need some players? Do you think they need some players? Do you think they're fine with who they've got? You reckon they could probably get away with it for another season without any new players?
I think so. I mean, no doubt they'll probably bring in.
Will Rooney be playing before the end of the month?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, it's the thing, we don't know about that kind of thing. How many agents do we know?
True. We are not.
This is a Sunday supplement.
We are not hashtag ITKL.
No, we're not hashtag ITKL. We can't pretend to be Mario
really
Samuel.
That's just kind of a bit of nothingness that happened, that didn't happen. Man decides he wants to leave, man doesn't leave.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well,
so
he may go, I suppose, but and obviously Chelsea want him. Well, at least they say they want him, and we can only assume that that's because they do actually want him. But this whole the whole thing about not bringing anyone in that United have got going on, which is a bit strange, because I mean they went for Fabregas, which always struck me as being an odd one because he left Arsenal in instalments because of his whole I love Arsenal, I love Barca, I love Arsenal, I love Barca. I love Barca just a bit more, and now I'm finally... And you got the impression that once he'd finally decided to go, that really they'd probably end up taking him out in a pine box. And it seems like a strange target. And interestingly enough, Manchester United fans on Twitter, the ones that I follow on Twitter, do often talk about the lack of a midfield creativity and a lack of a strong midfielder, central midfielder, and have done for many seasons. But it just goes to show you that, in fact, those kind of players aren't necessarily around that much. They're actually quite tough to find, the available ones, the ones that you can get that will do.
They're after.
I think that that's the guy that they want, and I think that will be a fantastic sign.
Yeah, and he's a great player. He's a bit temperamental, but I think he could do really well there.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense as well, doesn't it?
For all kinds of reasons.
Yeah,
I mean, it's difficult to think of too many top class central midfielders who would necessarily be willing to go and would be good enough to play for Manchester United, because they are one of the top clubs in Europe. So, you know, they would need to have an instant worldie. And there's only a handful of those guys out there, and they'll, you know, mostly be on pretty big contracts.
Do you think the Fabregas thing is a case of Man United still fighting the last war rather than fighting the next war? Are they still trying to score points over Arsenal? Because really, they really don't need to.
Yeah, I don't think they need to do that. I mean, in fact, that would be kind of stupid if that was the case. Yeah. Because United are not at war with Arsenal. They're not.
No.
It's not. You know, that's the Arsenal have left that particular battlefield for the time being.
Yeah. And
it may be some while before they're back.
Yeah.
Their biggest challenges are in, you know, domestically Chelsea and City, and in Europe are, you know, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid, maybe Juventus. So those are where the battlefields, and I think that, I mean, you know, arguably that's why Fabregas would be a good signing for them, because I mean he would live in that kind of company and against those kind of teams.
If you are going to be in that company, do you want to sign a player who can't make it into the Barcelona first team?
Well, I think that the thing with Barcelona is that they are so good that it is difficult to get in. They just are existing on a slightly higher plane at the moment.
Yeah.
And Bayern Munich got rid of Luis Gustavo in the week, who would and should walk into any team in Europe. And I think that there are only maybe one or two teams in the whole world who wouldn't have their squads quite substantially increased or improved by his arrival. Superb deep line defensive midfielder, but he's gone to he went to Wolfsburg because he needs first team football, because he wants to play for Brazil in the World Cup. He's just come back from the Confederations Cup, and he's got a World Cup, he's got a winner's medal there. He's desperate to go to Brazil and play, and he wants regular first team football, but Bayern Munich couldn't offer him that, because they've got Bayern have signed Thiago Alcantara, and they've got Bastian Schweinsteiger, and you know they were just told Gustavo was told, look, you know, you're second, third choice. So he's gone. But even that isn't necessarily the kind of player that United would have gone to. And also, I think possibly because Gustavo, although Arsenal were supposed to be into him, but I'm not certain how true that was. Gustavo really badly wanted to go somewhere where he was going to be settled. So he went to Germany, stayed in Germany, where he doesn't have to move the family, he doesn't have to take a chance, move to the Premier League, end up messing things up, you know, before the big show.
Yeah.
But he's a player who arguably was on the market that either United or Arsenal, for that matter, could have gone in for if they were quick about it, were it not for the fact that I suspect he probably didn't want it.
Yeah.
Deep down, didn't want to go.
I think Fellaini's a better target for them anyway than Fabregas. I'm surprised that that Fellaini was secondary, or what, so it seems.
Yeah.
I just think he's, as we said, a better fit.
So if we can round this conversation up, is there any of the transfers across Europe that really stood out for you this summer? Anyone? Anyone to anywhere?
Well, there's only ones that spring to mind, the ones that haven't happened yet. I mean, I really want to know if Gareth Bale goes to Real Madrid, because that will be a...
I think he will.
That would be a good one. And Gonzalo, I'm sorry to bring this up, but Gonzalo Higuain, Napoli have got a quality player there.
Yeah, but
he's a cracking sign, albeit, in fairness, surplus to requirements at Real Madrid. You know, I mean, he's good, but, you know, he is a bit of a step down, I guess you'd probably have to say. And from a German perspective, obviously, everyone's talking about, not anymore, but, you know, Mario Götze from Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, of course, that was done. That was already done, dusted before, yeah. Before the end of last
season. He hasn't actually played yet, or he's barely played. In fact, no, I don't think he's played at all yet. So
but be interested to see where he fits in that.
And so. Mario Gomez has gone to Fiorentina. Where I think he's going to score an absolute barrel load of goals. I think he'll score an absolute barrel load of goals there.
Should do. Great player.
Yeah. And cracking club. It's not too shabby, is it?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
So, we've come to the point of the podcast where we're going to introduce the listeners to our new feature on The Sound of Football. And you'll be able to keep abreast of this on Twitter with the hashtag SOF Top Trumps.
SOF Top Trumps or SOFTT?
SOFTT.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's go with that.
SOFTT.
Oh,
it's got more of a Mordorad sound to it, hasn't it?
We'll figure it out, listeners. Don't worry. You'll be kept abreast of everything. Abreast.
We're good at social media, us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
We're good at calls to action.
As you may realise, we're going to be playing Top Trumps.
Farting.
Yes. Okay. We'll be playing the fart game. Yeah, so if you're left with your mouth open when everyone farts, you lose. Right. What we're going to do now? We have the Top Trump European football stars for season 2012-2013. The information on this deck is accurate as of the 30th of March 2012. 29 European superstars and Scott Parker. He's in here with Edison Cavani, Kaká, Andres Iniesta, and Scott Parker. Yeah. So yes, 29 euros.
He was an all-star in 2012. How the mighty have fallen. Where is he now? Fulham, isn't
it? He went Fulham today. Yeah.
We're going to be dealing out the deck, and you'll get your own hand as well.
Yes, listeners, you're going to be playing our Top Trumps game.
Yeah.
So we have a round every week.
Yeah.
Now this is our first round. Graham is torturously shuffling the deck now.
And I will be dealing your hand first, listeners. And I'll be going around the table, because if I do yours first, then you get an extra card. So does Jan as well, because he's sat neck on my left.
And I won in rehearsal. We
did rehearse this element of it. But we didn't know. Oddly enough, we didn't rehearse the bits where we were talking. We just rehearsed the top track.
Right. Well,
I like to think that comes across.
Yes. Yeah. Now, as the listeners can't choose because they're listening, and Jan has an extra card because, you know, that's the way it came out. I think so. It should be up to me or you to decide what first round is going to be. So, Terry, I think you can have the first round here.
Should I have the first pick?
Yes, you can have the first
pick. Okie dokie then. Right. So again, I have the choice of height, caps, career goals, trophies, or year of birth. But youngest being the winner, which is definitely ageist, if you don't mind my saying so. Trophies, 21.
My word, I don't think that's going to be beaten. How I'm looking at my card, and I'm looking at a very concerned Luka Modric, and he has got 6 trophies to his name. He's a loser.
Yeah.
I've got Andreas Iniesta.
That's got to be going close. It's got to be going close.
Do you want to change your mind?
Well, I can't change your mind.
You can't change your mind, yeah.
What's going on? You can't change your mind.
Yeah.
Top
come on, put it down there.
But I have a mere 20.
20?
Oh. Well, the listeners' card was Robin van Persie, and despite all those years at Arsenal, he's only got 3 trophies.
And mine was Xavi.
Ah,
which is 21. So I guess Iniesta must have been injured for one of those.
He is a few years younger than
that's possibly what it is. Yeah, of course it is.
So yeah,
all right then. So I win this round.
So there you have it. Join us next week for some more Sound of Football Top Trumps.
All right. There you go. That went rather well. We should probably say goodbye, yeah?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah,
right, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone on a bit more, bit longer than usual, but hey, come on, it's the start of the season.
We didn't mention your club.
Yes, but, you know, your club's rubbish.
We wouldn't be surprised if they won the championship, qualified for Europe and got relegated, finished in mid-table mediocrity.
Went bust,
yeah.
Won the Champions League.
Got taken over by Ken Bates.
Yeah, had to move to Northampton Town.
Oh dear. Sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that because it's really not funny.
No, it's not funny. Not funny. You're like four modern football if you laugh at that.
I'm really angry about that. I'm angry about Coventry.
And so for this week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.